up in a few minutes. Herman Edwards, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, on Tony Dungy, and for that matter, on Lovie Smith and their qualities of leadership. But Nick Swisher, we're really enjoying this. I thought I'd share with you an interview I did with Jim Palmer about how some teams have better, shall we say, mentoring from the older players to the younger players. Here's Jim Palmer.
Well, you know, normally with the Yankees, it's very difficult as a young player to come up and succeed. But if you look at last year, Robinson Cano comes up, and, you know, Jeter really helps him out very, you know, and he goes on to have a very good year, almost won a batting title this year in his second year in the major leagues. He did have the hamstring injury, so he missed about 6 weeks. But, you know, Melky Cabrera came up because of the injuries to, you know, Hideki Matsui in left field, and then, of course, Sheffield hurt his wrist and was out about 2.5 months. So, I'm not sure if they missed that. I just think the big difference with the Yankees was that the Tigers had better pitching.
He talked about, though, the specifics of some teams having, as he came up in the leagues, the same thing. Somebody there, you talk about, you know, Frank Thomas, but somebody that you can go to get perspective, to not take things too personally, to focus on the individual day-to-day work, the discipline that leads to a great career.
Well, I think for me, you know, Frank was definitely that guy that I could go to and talk to. I mean, just like, you know, man, I mean, you know, playing in the NFL for all them years, and your game is between your ears. I mean, that's where the game of baseball comes into play, too. And, you know, Frank is a guy that I could go to, and his thing was the mental side of the game. And, you know, my philosophy is if you didn't have the athletic talent to be there, then you wouldn't be there. Someone else would. So now the thing is you really have to work on the mental side of the game, get yourself ready to go out there and play at the top of your game every day, and go out and get it done. And also, you know, guys like Jason Kendall and Mark Casse have helped me along the way. Chavi's helped me. I mean, there's just so many guys that have really pieced together things. And, you know, I'm just glad that I've got those guys in my corner.
What was missing from the A's? You guys had an electricity about you early in the postseason and seemed to be, on a certain momentous ride. What do you think was missing that you need to work on this year?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just think, you know, we kind of lost some momentum going into to the Detroit series. We had those 3 or 4 days off, and I think the same thing happened to us that happened in Detroit in the World Series. You know, if you look at the Cardinals, they just kept playing every day, man. They just kept going through and through, and ended up keeping that momentum and ended up ultimately winning the World Series. But, I mean, 4 games away from the World Series ain't too shabby. I mean, everybody thought as soon as we got to the playoffs, we faced Minnesota, everybody thought we were going to get swept. And we went out and did the opposite of what everyone thought. And I think that's one of the things we take a lot of pride in is we're the underdogs. People look at us and they never think we're going to do well, you know, by looking at us on paper. And then we ended up going out and having a heck of a year last year. But saying missing something, I don't think we were missing anything. I just think, the timing wasn't right. We went into a blazing hot team in the Tigers, and they ended up putting it to us.
Isn't it interesting how momentum, though, makes a big difference? I mean, Detroit had all the momentum, then they have a week off, and they come back and they make a major league record error every single game by the pitchers.
I think it's just the same thing. I mean, if you look at them, I mean, you look at the Ohio State Buckeyes, even though I'm a little biased, I think that if the
maybe a little.
You know, they didn't have 52 games off in between, I think they would have done a lot better. But, hey, I mean, that's sometimes how it goes. So you just got to, you know, just learn from it and move on.
Well, buddy, before we let you move on, tell me about your buddy Luke Appert. Want to get a shout-out to him. And when you see a young player that's got the hitting side down, he's working on his speed and his defense, how does that remind you of what it took for you to make it?
Well, definitely. It's funny. Luke and I have been playing against each other since most of our freshman year in college. As a matter of fact, Luke beat me out for the Big Ten Player of the Year our sophomore year. So he's kind of got that hanging over my head all the time. But not only that, he's just a great kid, and he's a good person to be around. And I mean, you know how it is. I mean, it just seems like you always got people tugging at you in certain directions in this game. And, I mean, hey, just getting, you know, for somebody like him and any advice that I could help him with, I'm all for it. Because not only is he a hard worker, you know, he's a guy, he wants to succeed. And there's plenty of other things he could be doing right now, making a lot more money than what he's making now. But he chose baseball. And, and I got to give him a lot of credit for that because he wants to succeed. He wants to do as well as he can. And, I'm glad he came down and trained with me for a couple weeks before he had to go back to Minnesota.
Nick, after the Chargers had that surprising loss against the Patriots, I called Marty Schottenheimer, my former coach, the next day, and he was involved, as he always does, in an entire day of meetings, one-on-one, with every single member of that team. I mean, that's over 50 players. And it brought back memories of what it was like to sit down with them, because you usually don't get one-on-ones with the head coach in football. Tell me about Bob Guerin and what he has done since November 17th when he was hired to, you know, have that one-on-one relationship and that chemistry develop with you and with the other players.
Well, I think the one thing that he did that gained a lot of respect for me in my book is as soon as he got the job, he called every single player, left messages, you know, talked to the guys. You know, because we've all known Bob for a couple of years now. And I've never gotten the opportunity to play for him as a manager in the minor league, but I'm going to get my opportunity this year. And you know, he's one of those guys that, I mean, you know, he's a catcher, and in my mind, I think catchers are the smartest guys on the field at all times. So he put together, you know, him and Billy put together a great, you know, coaching staff. We got some new guys coming in. You know, really, really looking forward to working with those guys. But you know, he's done a great job. I mean, he's a people person. You know, he does a good job with the media, and he does a good job with getting along with us players. And I think that's what you want as a player. You want a manager that has your back at all times. You know, if you go out there and get in an argument, you want him standing right next to you. And I think that's what he's going to do for us this year and bring us something that we haven't had in the past.
One of the things that is talked about by people in the media is the sort of class system that can also break apart teams, which is younger players or certain players that are paid, you know, one-tenth of what the stars are. How do you guys handle that on the team when you have one guy that's making $15 million, another guy that's making maybe just a few hundred thousand? Does that make a difference?
I mean, for me, I guess I look at it differently than most other people look at it. You know, my philosophy is hopefully my day's coming one of these days. And the guys that are making the money they are right now, congratulations. But the one thing that you have to remember about that is these guys earned that money. They deserve that money. And just like, you know, the guys that played a long time ago, they put us in the situation that we are today. And, you know, you got to thank those guys for that, especially the way things are going with the market the way it is now. But I don't know, man. I mean, you know, my philosophy is the guys that are making the money they are now, they deserve it, and they earned it. So, you know, good for those guys. Have fun with it, and, you know, hopefully one of these days I can be up to it.
With regard to the power players in the game, what has been the most important thing that you've done to make sure that you maintain and improve your power, Nick, but you don't damage your flexibility? We started off with this, and we'll let you go here in a second. But in the old days, when those guys were pumping straight heavy bar lifting and they were worried about losing their flexibility, what is the new thing that's available to players today that allows them to maintain the dexterity while they improve their strength?
Well, I think the one thing that helped me out for a while is, you know, I'm not scared to admit it now. I was when I first started, but I started doing the Bikram yoga. And that's, you know, when you
Bikram
go
yoga, that's hot yoga, right?
Yeah, that's when it's like 110 degrees and you're in there for 90 minutes. And you want to talk about it, just a total body detox of everything. Not only that, but making sure...
And you need that.
Exactly. And, you know, also, you know, just going in there, making sure that your body stays loose and limber, because regardless of how strong you are, I mean, you look at bodybuilders, these guys can't go out there and swing a baseball bat. So the one thing for us is we have to keep that strength, but we also have to keep that flexibility, exactly what you were saying. I mean, it's just like anything with kicking. I mean, probably the more flexible you are, and the stronger your leg can be, obviously the farther and more accuracy you're going to have in your kicks. And that's
there's an interesting relationship there, absolutely. Hey, listen, Nick, we got to let you go. We've got Herman Edwards on the line, but, man, we're going to wish you good luck. We'll check in with you every few weeks and see how you're doing.
That sounds good, bud. Thanks for having me on, Nick. Take care of yourself.
Good luck. Nick Swisher, future MVP of Major League Baseball. You heard it here. Speaking of MVPs, a guy that has injected a tremendous amount of confidence and energy into the Kansas City Chiefs organization, Herman Edwards. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Nick. How about you?
Well, I know you're busy, and I just wanted to take some minutes here. Because of your close relationship with Lovie and with Tony, what's it feel like? Did it transport you back to those years in 2000, you know, when you guys are turning things around in Tampa Bay and you're training yourself, you're mentoring yourself to see this come to its fruition?
Well, I think we enjoyed the time that I actually went down there Monday and interviewed Tony and Lovie for NFL Network. So I met with him Tuesday, and we really kind of talked about, you know, how we really started it off in Tampa. We were trying to build an organization that really didn't have a lot of confidence, really didn't have a really good direction in where it wanted to go, and I thought Tony put his stamp on it. You know, he had great vision, great focus, great leadership, and Tony and my, you know, and Lovey and myself were there with him when he built that, and you know, it's gone on from there. I mean, Tony left, went to Indianapolis. Lovey left, and obviously went to the Rams first, and then with Chicago, I had left and went to New York, and now I'm here. But we talked about those good times and how hard it was in the beginning to change people's attitudes, because we all believe the same thing. It's your attitude really kind of dictates where you're going to go in life, and I think if you have a positive attitude and you look at things that way, you can be successful a lot quicker than the other way.
And changing attitudes is about repeating the same things over and over. It's also about repeating and modeling the behavior itself. So, you know, here you have a guy in Tony Dungy and Herman Edwards and Lovie Smith, three guys that are trying to model that behavior as well. When you say it was hard for that to take hold in Tampa Bay, how long did it take?
Well, for us, our first year, we struggled. We struggled early. I mean, we were 0-5. You know, people fail to realize that. We were 0-5. But I think the great thing is Tony never lost. He never lost his ability to stay focused on the job at hand. And I think the players believed in that. He was very, very consistent. And we kept doing things consistently. We said, we're going to do it this way. This is how we're going to do it. We never buckled. We never fell into the trap of listening to the distractors. We just kept doing what we did, and the players started believing in it. And then about the second year, we got to the playoffs. We ended up being 6-10 that year, and we flipped it and got 10-6. And then we started rolling, and then it became the Tampa Bay that people, you know, when Tony was down there, respected, and we won a lot of football games, went to the NFC Championship game a couple times, and then Tony went on to Indianapolis, and Lovey went on to the Rams, and then Chicago, and I went on to New York.
And look at history and how it's played out. I almost played against Tampa Bay in that championship game in St. Louis, ironically the day when Derek Thomas was paralyzed, and I was watching that game. I had tried out earlier in the week, and it's very distinct for me. What was the change that you saw, if anything, or refocus, if you will, or distinction that Tony brought with him to Indianapolis from all those years where even the very next year Tampa Bay won the championship?
Well, I thought the players in Indy knew that they were going to get a coach that was very, very consistent. He was he didn't change. You know, he was going to be this way. He did it his way. Tony's a teacher. Lovey's a teacher. You know, Tony's parents were teachers, and so he believed in teaching players. Lovey has the same kind of philosophy. My father was in the military, so I understand about teaching, details, being disciplined. And that's what Tony brought to the table, to Indy. And that, along with a track record of going to the playoffs.
Herman Edwards, when we come back, we'll just have a couple minutes. I'd love to focus on the notion of serenity, that you and Lovey, and of course in particular Tony Dungy, have a serenity in the midst of the fire. You know, for instance, when a Larry Johnson's being held to 32 yards and you're in the playoffs playing against him, and yet you have to maintain that discipline and that focus and not let it all hang out. When we come back, we're going to talk with Herman Edwards. Final comments on Tony Dungy and the leadership of, let's say it, a genius in the NFL. We'll be right back.